The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
At Cal 79, doesn't believe in aliens, but does believe that mall cookies are worth the price.
I never said that.
According to Lori D.
Delicious.
West Coast.
I didn't say that.
Are they worth the price?
$1,200 for a cookie.
Are they worth the price?
Depends on how hungry I am.
So, yeah. Actually, it was TMB, Jay the Hoosier, who tweeted that out. So you do believe it, so you're right.
Mm-hmm. Not exactly.
So what exactly is it?
Sometimes you're just really hungry.
Or are
and
you?
And then you're like, $12 for three cookies. All right, fine. Then later on, you're like, God, why'd I do that?
I get that a lot from just my general activities each day. There's so many things I do.
I don't need the guilt of spending the money on top of the guilt of eating the cookies. That's the problem. I mean, many times I eat things and I go, why did I give in? But the price on top of it, that's what, I don't think I could deal with
the guilt.
You can't
afford the calories or the money.
I can't afford either, but I can kind of deal with one or the other. Together, no, not happening.
They are delicious. Can we all agree on that?
Oh, yeah, they are, yeah. Their butter ones are real solid there.
Snickerdoodle's
awesome. Larky Farkin tweeting, friend of mine's son had a manager at McDonald's yell and put her hands on him at work for not dropping fries.
For not dropping fries?
I think it means drop them into the deep fryer is what I'm assuming.
Left him in the basket and didn't put him in the oil.
Yeah, I didn't get in there. So. Yeah, it's going to be bad for you if you do that. Generally speaking, manhandling an employee couldn't get you a lawsuit.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
Now, breaking news. This is a story that actually last night, a KC-130 military plane crashed in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah, right about this.
Killed 16 aboard. Andy Jones was one of the witnesses. He said he was working on his family's catfish farm just before 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Heard a boom, looked up, saw the plane corkscrewing downward. With one engine smoking, guy borrows his phone, reports it to authorities, said there were bodies across U.S. Highway 82, more than a mile from the crash site.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw that's that horrible. They may have pieces of the crash for several miles,
yeah,
too.
This thing was.
Which is huge. So, I mean, was 16 dead?
16.
I'm assuming these are all servicemen and women?
Probably, most likely. Yeah. It's a KC-130 is a
that's a big mid-air cargo.
It's a mid-air.
Oh, that's the refueling one. Oh.
But it's a huge.
Okay, you know what? That makes sense why they were scattered on such a, because it exploded.
Yeah.
And then threw the stuff miles.
Yeah. Because
I was like, why would it be spread across unless, even with a crash? Okay, so sad news. Likely 16 people, military service, men and women.
Yep.
This morning we'll have details throughout the day.
Two or three stories like that. The ATF and the FBI are investigating an explosion at an Air Force recruiting center in Bixby, Oklahoma. About 10:15 last night, somebody heard a loud explosion near the office. Police got to the scene. They found damage to the front doors of the Air Force office building, called for a bomb squad and agents from the ATF and FBI.
Wow, that's it's funny. I hear these things happen in close proximity, time-wise or geographically. Right. They may have nothing to do with anything or with each other, but whenever I hear tragedies like this, I automatically start building. Is there any connection at all? Probably not, but...
But you never know. Yeah. And another story, this is out of Hawaii. An active duty soldier based in Hawaii pledged his allegiance to the Islamic State group, ISIS. He said he
is that a new government agency too?
I'm telling
you, we've got Space Corps and U.S. ISIS.
You know what? I'm tired of this beautiful paradise I live in here in Hawaii. I want to go fight with the Syrians and caves and ISIS.
Cal's got a great point. You live in Hawaii.
It really sucks out here. This beautiful
they're
beaches.
Keeping me down, man.
I'm tired of it, man.
Fresh pineapples.
Yeah,
this is horrible.
Ikeka Kang is a sergeant first class in the Army. He helped purchase a drone for ISIS to use against American forces, said he wanted to use his rifle to kill a bunch of people. And here's the weird part. He enlisted in the Army in 2001, just after the 9/11 terror attacks.
Okay, so what happened? Did he enlist because he was going to try to help ISIS, you know, by infiltrating the military?
There was no
ISIS
at the time.
Well, or
Al-Qaeda. Yeah.
Al-Qaeda terrorism. Was that the plan, or did he get radicalized? And if you've been in the service and now you're radicalized, how did they get to him?
That's a good question. He served both in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Did he serve and then was like, oh my God, look at how many people are dying and Americans have killed people too? Or
yeah, maybe
part of a year-long investigation, they caught this guy.
I'll bet it's more like that, and I'll bet he's somebody who is easily motivated.
Yeah, probably.
Because he was likely motivated after 9/11, seeing the horror. Something we start with, something's got to be done because you can't deal with the
right.
But you're right, Cal. It's like, I live in paradise. This is horrible.
This really sucks, man. I want to go live in the caves,
which
have sex with goats.
Which makes this a good day for him because it is National Cheer Up the Lonely Day.
Is it?
Yeah. You know somebody who's lonely, going through a difficult time?
Like, hey, Brad.
Kick a Kang?
That's national. I'm going to cheer you up today because
I'm not lonely.
You're not? No.
I used to be lonely and I used to be afraid to be alone. No, I love it.
Or did you?
Or did I? That's a good question. Another developing story. This one, very serious nature. Nevada sold out of legal marijuana so quickly, the government has endorsed a statement of emergency. Not kidding. This is from businessinsider.com. It's a legit story. Less than 2 weeks after sales of recreational marijuana kicked off in Nevada, stores are running out of the pot to sell, according to the Department of Taxation.
Update on that. They have run out of potato chips in all grocery stores in Nevada as well.
Wow, those people hit the hit it hard, didn't they?
Brian Sandoval, the governor there, endorsed the department's call for a statement of emergency, which would allow for more licensed distributors. 50 dispensaries out there already.
Oh my gosh, that's I saw one in California where they were questioning, and I don't remember the exact headline, but the question was like, should. Because it's legal for recreational purpose in California now. Mm-hmm. Should marijuana be allowed at state and local festivals, fairs, the state fair?
How long before fried marijuana?
You know what, Cal? It probably exists, already. Yeah. And by the way, there's also porn of it, Rule 34. Yeah. But why wouldn't you allow it at a carnival? Even if you're somebody that hates the idea of legalized recreational marijuana use, what is your objection to it being at a carnival?
If you can't smoke at a carnival, you probably shouldn't be able to smoke pot. And if
I agree.
You can't have beer, if you can't have alcohol, you
right,
probably
exactly.
shouldn't be
able to have. Right, exactly. But if you allow people to smoke...
I think it should be treated just like alcohol.
Of course it should, yeah. I mean, the smoking part is a little different because that could... We have other smoking rules that's a little different.
But you can get pot brownies and things like that, so...
Absolutely, yep. That's
which
a great
makes you one pot brownie leads to six. Remember that. Mm-hmm. And if you're in St. Petersburg, Florida... Because this could only happen in Florida. Watch out for the onslaught of graffiti depicting three buttocked arses.
What?
Yeah, it's...
oh, yeah. Listen to this.
Three buttocked what?
It's very, very
art.
Strange. It's more of a visual...
Arses. Ass.
Ass.
That's weird.
It's
a
three, but it's rather...
So it's like three cheeks.
Yeah.
So it's somebody has been spray painting graffiti around that is of a torso, but just the backside. So just from lower chest... to thighs from the back, and yet they it's kind of an optical thing where it looks like there's three cheeks.
Yeah, three legs, if you will.
Three legs of three.
Let's connect this to the Space Corps. Could this be the alien?
So you're saying the aliens have three asses?
No, they have three cheeks. They would have two, you know, I mean, if you go that deep down into their physiology. Yeah, it could be, is all I'm saying. Or could it?
Two cheeks against three. Keep it two on the planet Earth, man.
We tweeted this one out so you can take a look and be your own judge. Have a pot brownie first, though. It makes it more interesting. Up in Clinton, Maine, Santa has been very, very naughty. They have arrested the driver of a stolen vehicle, identified himself as Santa Claus, following a 50-mile chase. I think this is last week.
I'm on official North Pole business.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way. It's Christmas in July.
I am Santa. What do I got to do to convince you people?
When Santa's in a hurry, let him go. This guy is Goffstown, New Hampshire, which I think has a population of 12, drove on busted tires.
You guys are definitely on my naughty list after this.
They put out the spike strips. He ran over those, drove for another 15 miles even after that. Santa was very determined.
My sleigh's in the shop, okay, guys?
Don't piss him off. This is a very strange one out of Vegas, as if the rest weren't. A man was arrested there for having sex with a dead body.
Or was he?
Exactly.
Or did he?
Mm-hmm.
That's just gross.
Well, again, if you dig down into the details, apparently he started having sex with her when she wasn't dead.
So he killed her?
Or did he?
He boned her to death?
Could
have.
Yeah, that's people die in the throes of passion. I mean, it's a stressful time.
Was she super old?
Well, no, he found her. Apparently, she was having issues, and this guy, he's a homeless guy, he found her and
in flagrante delicto.
They decided to have a little go at it.
Yeah, I know you're dying right now, but how about we get it on?
Pretty much.
Real quick.
He called 911.
I mean, people, if you know you're going to die, a lot of times people will make that choice, right? They'll, know what, one for the road, or what would you do in your final days? Well, I would do this. I'd have the cheeseburger I always like, and then out with a bang.
This best part is police said that a witness who was walking his dog at the time saw Martinez having sexual intercourse with a woman inside of a flower planter box near Charleston Boulevard. The witness,
wait, where? What? Where were they inside a...
Well, don't act so surprised. Where would you do it? I mean, that makes sense.
Inside a flower... Aren't those really small?
Yeah. Well, it's better than doing it on the sidewalk.
That's right. You don't want to be crude
exactly.
or crass. Right. That's a good point.
Witness said he did not know that the female was dead until another witness, who was a pastor of a nearby church, told him.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Like, having public sex here is one thing, but necrophilia, you got to draw the line here. That's just disgusting now.
Now you're just being...
Excuse me, sir. Sir. Hang on one second. Hang on. I think she's dead. What?
No,
well, I had no idea. This is news to me.
She usually just lies there when we do it, so I wasn't really sure.
An old joke about a British girl, but anyways.
May have been my ex-wife.
I can't let you end on that one. I'm going to one more.
Hey, let's do our transgender update.
Oh, there you go.
And now, an important transgender update.
Important? Is that really the right descriptor?
Well, it is important. If you are transgender in England, because the Church of England has decided to hold special services for transgender people after taking a vote. A historic vote, as a matter of fact. They voted to support transgender people by holding special services to mark their transition.
Okay, hold it. Mm-hmm. I get you the whole, we support transgender, we're going to love them and whatever. Fine, good. But a special ceremony or service?
Yes, to help them transition. And this thing passed.
Is this one of the sacraments now?
The motion passed 127 to 28.
Wow, okay.
Everyone on the right used to have an innie, and now you have an outie. Everybody on the left has an outie, now you have an innie. Congratulations.
You know what this tells me? Churches need donate. I mean, membership at churches is declining.
Oh, yeah.
They need donations.
Right. Many of these churches are trying to seek out certain peoples that they will support. You're right. It's not about the faith. It's not about,
your
Bible. It's right. Here's a group that we could say, you're okay. You've been neglected.
Yeah. And this vote came after bishops backed a motion calling for a ban on unethical conversion therapy for gay Christians.
By the way, you can bet during these ceremonies, they will never quote Deuteronomy. Now, what is it? Leviticus. It's always Leviticus. They'll never quote Leviticus.
I don't. Deuteronomy just sounds funny.
I know. It's a funnier line. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what are you doing here, guys? I don't have a problem with you, but stop trying to make everything fine.
Right.
Stop trying to seek people out. And a ceremony. I mean, is it like a baptismal? Will there be wine involved? I feel like wine involved is what got you to that point, but,
The world is a new and strange and exciting place.
Exciting?
Young minds,
say
young
that.
Minds fresh
say
ideas.
That. All right, that's a good point. I guess exciting does fit. All right, get a quick break in back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Doc Thompson.
Improved health, amazing incentives, and great life insurance. That's Health IQ. Health IQ believes that health-conscious people deserve lower rates, and they've developed a system just to do that. For years, if you went to get life insurance, they would penalize you if you led an unhealthy lifestyle.
Penalized. Oh, you smoke? Right. Penalized. Which you drink? Penalized.
Which is fine. I mean, that's their business model. They realize those people likely are going to cost them more money. That's fine. But for the people that saved them money, how come you didn't save?
Nope. Sorry. I run marathons. I don't care.
So Health IQ.
I eat really healthy.
Health IQ is like, sorry, those people got to save money. And they're like, yeah, we don't have a formula for doing that. So they said, fine, we'll do the hard work. So it took them years to get all the data together. And now the plan's out. Tens of thousands of people have got billions of dollars in insurance coverage from Health IQ. And if you want more information, you get a free quote. Just go to healthiq.com/blaze. That's healthiq.com/blaze. All you'll do is answer a few questions about your lifestyle, and then they'll give you a quote, and it's going to be lower if you are healthier. So it could be, sure, things like vegans or vegetarians or cyclists or runners, but strength trainers or people that are just slightly healthier. You're like, yeah, I'm not, you know, as active as some, but I eat healthier, I do this, I don't smoke. All those things are metrics that go into getting you lower insurance rates. So just call today or get that free quote at healthiq.com/blaze. Healthiq.com/blaze. They got all that information ready to go. They'll ask you the questions and you get that free quote. Healthiq.com/blaze. All right.
I got a great tweet here.
Yeah, what do you
got? TMB Saddle Tramp tweeted, hashtag what I learned today. I guess at transgender church services, Deuteronomy will now be called Dude, You're On Me.
Dude, You're On Me. Hey, oh, we're bellless today.
Where's the bell?
I was having this discussion with a coworker yesterday. Coworker says, female coworker who happens to be fairly progressive. Okay, she's progressive. Yeah, people think, by the way, everybody that works for Glenn Beck is right or libertarian or conservative. They're not.
Nope.
So she's progressive. Nice girl. I get along with her. We've had ongoing discussions about different issues.
We do make them wear armbands, though.
Right. We got to identify them a certain, you know, easily stay away from the other people. And we've had discussions in the past, and she's actually been very open to something I said. And, okay, I never thought about that, and it's been nice. Anyway, so she said that she gets really upset when people will say to her, hey, smile. I mean, infuriated, angry.
Does she have the RBF?
I don't think so, but she's more of a pretty girl. Mm-hmm. But she said, I own my body.
Right.
Don't tell me to do with my body what you want me to do with my body. It was very, and I was like, what?
It's a bit overthinking it, but okay.
Right. That's what I thought. So she explained it. And then later on, she sent me an article about, you know, what it's like your whole life when you're basically your looks become your identity, because she's an attractive girl. And, you know, people are always telling you smile or whatever. And it gets old and how frustrating it is. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you that. I don't have to deal with that. I get it. And I said, but I hope you'll understand that a lot of people that would say something like that aren't being jerks. They actually think you're in a bad mood or want you to cheer up.
And she's taking it as like, oh, because I'm pretty, I have to smile all the time.
Right, it's like that. And number two, a little of it's on you. So if I know it bothers you, something like that, fine. I won't say anything like that, you know. But a little bit of it's on the person to not be offended. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we all have something like that we're like, I just stop. I can't hear you say that again. Or did you play basketball? No, I suck. I'm horrible. Like really bad. Yeah. And they're like, you're basketball, you're tall. Always with the tall.
Oh, you're a Muslim, huh?
Right.
Are you a terrorist? I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Well,
right.
Well, are you?
Well, and that's like this transgender thing at the church. Stop it. We all have stuff. Stop having people justify everything you do and are by going to a certain church or hooking up with a group, because they simply will tell you it's okay. They're there. You're just as good. If you really think you're just as good, and you probably are based on whatever, then just be just as good. Just exist.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
All right, get your tweets in. Hashtag what I learned today. It's hashtag what I learned today. We got a guest. Chris, who's coming up here?
Ed Gillespie. Gillespie? Gillespie? Gillespie.
Ed Gillespie joining us now. Hey, Ed, how are you?
Sorry, Ed.
Hey, that's all right. Good morning. Good to be. I've been called worse.
Our buddy Chris Cruz is from Puerto Rico, and English is his second language, and often he has colorful pronunciations.
Yes, he does.
So Ed is running for governor for state of Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm a big fan of Virginia, lived there for quite a while. I consider it my second home. Ed, I know you kind of disappointed didn't get to beat Mark Warner. I was rooting for you there because Mark Warner's a bit of a fail when it comes to helping out the Commonwealth.
Well, I enjoyed that campaign. I was a first-time candidate. It was a great experience. I wish I'd won, but I believe God has a plan, and maybe his plan is for me to serve my fellow Virginians in a different way. We'll find out soon enough. We'll know in November, but I feel very good about this race and know that we've got to win in November because Virginia's stuck economically, and we need to get unstuck, and I know exactly how to do that.
This fall, there's only two gubernatorial races this fall, and that would be Virginia and New Jersey. Chris Christie is likely, well, he is done. He's term limited out, and he would be done anyways with a 15% approval rating. But, Ed, the Commonwealth is pretty significant. I mean, it's right next to D.C. There's a lot of money that goes through Virginia. It is not just politically but economically significant as well.
It's a very important state. I don't say that just because I'm from Virginia. It truly is. It plays a critical role in the Electoral College. And, of course, it's so historic. I mean, we were there at the founding and played a critical role from the very beginning of our nation's history to today. But the fact is, we're in trouble right now. Our economic growth rate last year was 0.6%. We were 39th out of 50 states. Wow. In economic growth. You could drive from Maine to Florida, down the entire East Coast, and every state you drive through, with the sole exception of Delaware, which has fewer people than Fairfax County, Virginia, is doing better than we are. And, you know, we should be number one in the nation when it comes to job creation, economic growth. I truly believe that. And my policies will get us there.
The failures of Terry McAuliffe have been, first of all, when Terry got elected, I just can't help but go back to, when you look at Virginia's history, you go, right. Patrick Henry, first governor. Thomas Jefferson, second governor. And then you go, hey, we've got Terry McAuliffe now. This is the little difference there.
Well, and it's no surprise that under the McAuliffe-Northam administration, his lieutenant governor is running for more of the same, or actually worse of the same. We hit the bottom 10 states in economic growth. And, you know, last year we hit a 10-year low in labor force participation rate. For the first time since we started collecting this data in 1978, more people have moved out of Virginia than into Virginia, and that's happened for three straight years. That reflects a lack of opportunity, and that lack of opportunity correlates with the fact that just 6 years ago under Governor Bob McDonnell, Virginia was number one on the CNBC list of best states for business, and now we're not even in the top 10. And so we've got to change things here. We've got to turn things around. I'm running on the first rate cut in Virginia in 45 years since we first set our income tax rates in 1972, 10% across the board. That would result in the creation of more than 53,000 full-time private sector good-paying jobs. That's a 25% increase over current projections. We need those jobs. We need that opportunity and that economic growth.
Let me ask you on some of the issues here. Terry McAuliffe, right after the shooting of Congressman Steve Scalise, went right to the same old talking points about gun control, gun control, gun control. Give me your stance on the Second Amendment in the Commonwealth.
Well, I'm proud to have an A-plus rating with the NRA, the National Rifle Association. My opponent, Ralph Northam, is endorsed by Michael Bloomberg and his gun control group. I believe the Second Amendment is an individual right, and it is one that needs to be protected, and as governor, I would protect it.
And so when the lobby day happens, when your governor and the VCDL rolls through and they start saying, you know, because you've got to be proactive. Unfortunately, you know, it should be pretty simple. The Second Amendment should apply, but you got to be proactive because there's so many people that are constantly trying to chip away. When they roll through on election or on lobby day, you're going to support their solid efforts, right?
Well, I'll give you some examples of some of the policies that they care about. Oh. And I do agree. The fact is that Governor McAuliffe imposed an executive order that infringes on the rights of law-abiding citizens to carry guns, to carry a weapon in public buildings, for example, as if that's going to dissuade somebody who means to do us harm. I would restore that right. And I would not allow for a patchwork of gun control laws across the Commonwealth, allow for people to be able to defend their homes, themselves, their property. And so I'm a strong supporter of our Second Amendment individual right to keep and bear arms.
What about you? I mean, you're a supporter of open carry because that's law in the Commonwealth.
It is indeed, yes.
You support it, I mean?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I would not repeal that.
And what about some of the nutty limitations on, well, we should only have magazines that allow this capacity or that capacity? That seems pretty ineffective to me.
Well, again, I support the Second Amendment right. I'm not going to support any effort to infringe upon them, and I will seek to not only protect it but expand it.
And when it comes to education in the Commonwealth, do you support the state-funded either pre-K or it has other names as well, and the Commonwealth is usually referred to as pre-K?
No, I don't think we need to have a government-run pre-K system in the Commonwealth of Virginia. What we need to do is reform our education system to give parents greater control over our children's education, and that includes more public charter schools. You know, we have in the Commonwealth of Virginia 9 public charter schools. Across our border in North Carolina, they have 167. There are more public charter schools in the city of New Orleans than the entire Commonwealth of Virginia. Parents should have more options and more control over our children's education. I support allowing our homeschool children to participate in our public school sports programs. That's a bill that my opponent opposes as well, and Governor McAuliffe vetoed a Tebow bill. I would sign one in a heartbeat. And I also support opportunity scholarships and education savings accounts and a broad array of ways to give parents greater control and more choices.
I love that in the Commonwealth of Virginia, a governor cannot secede themselves, so you cannot serve 2 back-to-back terms. I think that's a good thing. But one of the troubles, Ed, with that is you get 4 years to make your mark. And when it comes to something like education reform, if you're looking for big ideas, it's going to take often, a decade or two. So you really have to make sure you've got, common ground support from everybody. And when it comes to education, I think America in general, we need a big step forward. We have not kept up with technology. We could be doing things very, very differently and more efficiently.
One of the things I've done, Doc, is to get members of the General Assembly involved in my policy development process. I'm unveiling policy today to deal with the opioid and heroin addiction crisis that we're dealing with in the Commonwealth of Virginia, as well as mental health challenges that we face. And I've got 9 different policy development working groups. Each one is co-chaired by a member of our House of Delegates and our state Senate. And they're very involved in helping me develop the policies I'm running on. And they're running on them, too, in the House of Delegates. All of our House of Delegates is up for election this November as well. And that way, when we win in November, we can hit the ground running and we can deliver on the promises we're making in the course of this campaign. That's important to me.
So when it comes to mental health funding, most of that would be done through the community service boards in Virginia?
Yes, and what I'm proposing today and we'll work with the Assembly on is legislation and executive actions and regulations to improve their performance and to help foster best practices and having a regional approach while maintaining the local autonomy, but also trying to foster more best practices and develop ways in which the CSBs, the community service boards, can better deliver these services. And one of those ways is for the money to follow the patient in the community when it comes to mental health and also substance abuse disorders. And, that makes sense to me. We've got to break down these silos and allow for people to move seamlessly through a process and have the money follow the patient.
So I ask you about veterans as well. We just got reports, I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, that President Trump has fired 526 people in the VA system since taking office. He suspended some more as well. That's a shakeup. That's a significant shakeup from years past. But a lot more has to be done. What can you do in the Commonwealth of Virginia? There's a lot of veterans in the region.
Well, there are. In fact, you know, we have about 800,000 veterans in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're a very patriotic state, very proud of that. And what's being done at the federal level, I think the VA reforms that have been enacted will make the VA more responsive to the needs of our veterans. But in the Commonwealth also, we have, you know, veteran services. And one of my policy working groups is the Veterans Policy Working Group. And one of the things I'm going to do is to listen to the Joint Leadership Committee of the Veteran Services organizations across the Commonwealth and meet with them on a quarterly basis and make sure they have input to the governor's office and that we are responding to the needs of the veterans in Virginia.
Because one of the things we're going to do here, and I'd like your help is if you get elected, well, even if you don't, is we're going to lead here more. Unfortunately, the Veterans Administration and even its predecessor, the Veterans Bureau and on back, has been failing veterans forever. And we're going to lead more here. We have some plans in place to try to do some public and private partnerships, but unfortunately, D.C. is not getting it done. And it's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's not every administration has had its failures going all the way back. So as we lead, I may be calling on you, Ed, and saying, hey, can you help us out? Can you put some pressure on D.C.? Can you get together with the other governors and help the veterans?
Well, I look forward to it, Doc. I care about them very, very much, not just because such a sizable population here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. My parents are laid to rest in a veteran cemetery, and it's something near and dear to my heart.
All right, sir. I appreciate it, and good luck in the fall, okay?
Thanks so much. Good to be with you this morning.
All right, Ed Gillespie, edforvirginia.com, edforvirginia.com. You want to find out more there, too. I just run through some basic info there and just seeing if, you know, he's somebody that people like. You want to find out more, you look him up or whatever. Pretty, I'm not intimately informed with every plan and, you know, his past. I know he worked for George W. Bush. I'm not a George W. Bush fan, but not all that's on him. You work for administrations, you know. Yeah, exactly. But hopefully he'll certainly do better than the lieutenant governor who's running right now as well. And this will be an interesting race this fall because, as I said, there's only two governorships up at this point. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
It'll be a referendum on Trump.
It may or it may not. Right. It could be. Well,
it depends on who wins.
Yeah, it depends on who wins and how the media spins it. Yep. Ed probably has a pretty good shot at this thing. He probably does.
So.
But that's the reason I wanted to ask him about the veterans thing or whatever. We're going to be coming through and we're going to need some help there to try to get some stuff done. Mm-hmm. All right, quick break. Back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
Chris Cruz comes in and he goes, wow, we are really, really old. We do a lot of painkillers and things to make your life healthier. We do exercise stuff and earth water. We're just trying to stay healthy, Chris. That's all.
Yeah, but come on. Can we get some hip, young, like...
We have some of those, too. I'm just saying we're trying to make people's lives better. That's okay. What it is. And
listen to the young whippersnapper over here trying to... No,
but I mean,
like,
we have like earth water and stuff like that, too.
I mean, the majority of us here, what's the average age here?
80.
I kicked the curve way.
Yeah, I was going to say he tips that scale the other side there a little bit.
The two of you are, you know, up there.
We'll actually figure out the average. We'll leave Kirk out of it.
Why?
No, we're going to definitely need him in there. We need that lower down there a little bit. If you're somebody that struggles with pain, we've told you about Relief Factor for a long time. But if you're somebody that struggles with, you know, more minor aches and pains, things like muscle pain, tendons or arthritis or something like that, things that aren't ongoing, maybe exercise, we got a new product I want to tell you about. It's called Inspirit. It's a hemp cream. I'll tweet out a link to it, inspirithemp.com, inspirithemp.com. Now, this is a non-psychoactive hemp oil. You're not going to go on any fun trips. You're not going to get munchies or anything like that. And it's a topical cream, so it's a faster pain relief. It's not like Relief Factor where you're going to have something that is more ongoing that, you know, takes you a couple of days and you're going to
do. So it's like for sprains or something?
This is more immediate topical. So you just rub it in and it works. It helps relieve pain due to arthritis, backache, stuff like this, joint pain. It has an ultra strength formula, 150 milligrams of active hemp oil right now. And again, it's non-psychoactive. It's also organic hemp oil. It's non-GMO. It's non-gluten. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But it does help for like pain. Yeah.
It's very healthy.
Well, they brought it to me and I've used it. It works. It's awesome. I gave some of my mother-in-law some of this stuff too for arthritis. She loves it.
It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Works for her. Works great. So, and it's one of those things because arthritis kind of comes and goes. Right. You know, you'll have it in a couple places in your body.
Also
and
then depends like on the weather.
Right. The weather. All of a sudden you'll have a flare up of like, you know, your the second joint in your pinky and your left knee or something like that. It does. And then you're like, man, this sucks for like 3 days. So yeah, she uses it. It's awesome. So it's InSpirit Hemp Cream. Try it. It's not expensive. You can get it at InSpiritHemp.com. InSpiritHemp.com. Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Blaze Brad, and at Cal79. Ed sounded worth going out and voting for.
Thanks for the interview, Doc. I'll have to bother to pay attention, I guess. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, like you said, I'm not actively familiar with Ed's past. I know a little bit of it, but I'm guessing he's going to be better than the lieutenant governor. If you know, he was lieutenant governor for Terry McAuliffe, and you know Terry McAuliffe and what a fail he has been, what with pals and up with the Clintons and being as progressive as they come.
Sergeant Awesome tweeted at Ed Gillespie and Doc Thompson, the main problem of Virginia is proximity to D.C.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
I used to joke when I worked there, too, the dividing line is Spotsylvania County. Anything north, let them have it.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.